am on a road trip of a lifetime. I am helping my friend Pam move from Lothian, Maryland, back to Washington State. And she asked me if I would come with her to help with the driving. And I like to drive. And I love this great country that we are part of. And Pam is not all of that enthusiastic a driver. And so the sharing of the drive duties is working out really, really well. We're having a great time. And I'm going to reflect on that a little bit farther on. But my greetings today go to all of Captain Joe's people who are traveling, for some reason, and may it be my hope and my wish and my command that the traveling that any of you are embarked upon right now are for the really best of reasons, such as the one in which I am now embarked myself. The binnacle list today is a sad one for a couple of reasons, not because anyone who is on the binnacle list has crossed the bar. I do not have any of those to report. But in the last week, last week's broadcast was heard in its entirety by people who were able to hear me live, but it was not able to record, and therefore there was no way that people who were not able to hear me live were able to hear the entire broadcast. And all of us who are involved with the Voice of Vashon regretted enormously when those things happen. And so that is the story. If you heard me live, you heard the whole thing. If you did not hear me live, you only heard a couple minutes of it. And so we'll do a little bit of catching up today as well. The binnacle list, though, although there are no people on it who have crossed the bar, within the time frame from last week, I've had several reports and telephone calls of people very close to me who are in serious medical trouble. And to Mike and to Dr. Jim, and to my other friend Jim, who lives in Annapolis, and my friend Cece in Amsterdam, who remains still undiagnosed after a long and rigorous workup yet to be discovered. All of you are not only in the palm of my hand, but also are now the beneficiary of the collective energy of all of us, which is leading me to reflect a little bit on the binnacle list, take a couple minutes of my time to reflect a little bit on the binnacle list and the importance of it to all of us. It is often people will let me know of things that are going on in either their medical life, or sometimes it is mental and emotional, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it is some other situation, but in which they are asking for the concentrated energy of all of us to be directed in their direction. And that is, of course, the purpose of the binnacle list. There are people that are known only to me and to what their particular situation is as part of their request for that. And I always honor that. And yet people who have indicated that they want to be part of the good things that come out of membership on the binnacle list, one of the big things that is my wish, my hope, and my command that each person that's on the binnacle list will follow the instructions of their medical practitioner so they will leave the binnacle list in the approved fashion and return to full duty. But in this last week, I had several phone calls, and last night, as we were doing our RON in Minnesota, I talked to several people, and these were people who are connected to other of Captain Joe's people who concerns on the binnacle list, which caused me to reflect on its importance, to reflect on why we do it, and to reflect on how the energy, which is the love and attention, the whole business of being shipmates, I slipped that in on all of you. A shipmate, of course, is he or she who is more concerned about his mates and his ship than about himself. And is that true, that I have tried to exhibit my entire life, my entire working life, and to pass it on to generation after generation of young Coast Guardsmen and other people who have become captains of people, people who are not necessarily wearers of the shield, but who in one way or another have become part of my people. And so all of you who are on the binnacle list, and even in a couple of cases, I know that you're not able to hear what I'm saying, but you will be able to feel the attention coming your way. And that attention has two parts. The first part is that each of us has to do the hard work that goes with our own recovery plan, our own treatment plan. And the second part of it is the hard work that is coming to each and one of you and all of you from all of us. And one of the things about which I was asked to reflect by John, J-O-N, was some thoughts that we might want to leave behind when that inevitable time comes for us to cross our own bar. When it is my time, I probably will have written a 15-page obituary for someone or someone's together to read, and it will contain certain things that you heard me say over the years. But many people will not have done that kind of writing. So one of the things that we'll be talking about as we work our way through our times together for the amount of time that we have left together, may it be a long one, that people be thinking about what would you like someone, one of your trusted agents, one of your shipmates, to say about you and about what you accomplished in your life. And you may want to write that down. I will be working on that. A busy Jack Tar is a happy Jack Tar. So those are my reflections on the binnacle list, and now a couple of reflections on this trip. First of all, I have been reminded of what a wonderful, wonderful country this is. Now, I happen to thoroughly enjoy road trips. I have not, I think, disclosed this on this broadcast before, but I'm going to disclose it now, that after I became an honored retiree from the Coast Guard, and it became clear that the Commandant was not going to send me a letter in which he says, "Captain Joe, all is forgiven, come back on active duty," I went through a really self-induced bad time. I worked very diligently to get on the outside of the entire output of the Johnny Walker distillery in Scotland, and was pretty successful at it. And in fact, I was so successful that I became, as you might expect, became very ill. And once I had, and this was before Mary and I were together, and I did not have anybody in particular special in my life at that time. And so I was dealing with all of this on my own, which, of course, is the way that captains are anyway. And so once I figured out that I was going to either kill myself or I was going to have to take some drastic and dramatic action, and I chose the second choice because I just had too much to do and there was things that were opening out in my life that I really wanted to do. And that opening out became my relationship and ultimately my marriage to Mary R. and a number of other things, all of which are now a part of my life. So one of the things that I decided to do was to drive motor cars back and forth across this great country of ours, and I worked for a company called Auto Drive Away. I don't know if Auto Drive Away is still in existence, but one of my home ports was Portland, Oregon, and the other on the other side of the country was Arlington, Virginia, which is also where my mother's house was. And so I think I've made about 40 trips across this country. One of them, I picked up a car in the Florida Everglades and drove it all the way to Vancouver, British Columbia, which is diagonally across the country as far as you can go. And I came to have yet another love affair in my life, a love affair with all of the ships that I was privileged to command and the crews that belonged to them, a love affair with the service itself, a love affair with a lot of different people, and then with this great country that I and all of Captain Joe's people in one way or another are privileged to even today continue to serve. And we continue to serve it when the flag is complete and intact and when it is a little bit tattered out on the fly. And to some today, that is where we are. But it is still flying and still flying proudly. And I, with the ever-lovely Pam, am sitting right here in this wonderful rest stop in South Dakota. And the name of the rest stop is the Dignity of Earth and Sky. And Red Lake. And Red Lake. Pammy just reminded me that it is also Red Lake. Now, we've just come from the town of Mitchell, South Dakota. And in Mitchell, South Dakota is the last remaining corn palace. And somebody out there is saying, Captain Joe, that's just one of those big tourist traps. Don't go into tourist traps. I love tourist traps. I love them. I love to go. If I can find the one which is the world's largest ball of string, which is somewhere in the Southwest, I think, I will go off of the interstate or whatever highway I'm using, and I will go to that ball of string. So nothing would do but what we would get off of the Interstate 90 and drive down into the town of Mitchell to the last remaining corn palace, a building that is built in almost completely, or at least is faced, with millions and millions of corn cobs. And it was built in the 1890s, and there's a wonderful exhibit. And of course, I read every single label. I do not miss a single placard or label in any museum that I love to go into. And so Mitchell has the last of these, but there were many of them that were built in the Midwest over the years. Interstate 90 is the route of choice for us today. And we are headed to the legendary but not mythical Wall Drug, and we're going to spend some time in Wall Drug. And then we're going on to Rapid City. We're going to RON in Rapid City, and we're going to Mount Rushmore, and there is not a single tourist trap that we're going to miss because I love them all, and I am happy to make whatever financial contribution is necessary to gain admittance to these places. So my magazine today is entitled Explore Mitchell, South Dakota. Its subtitle is The 2026 Guide to Everything. And in front, and it has a photograph of the front of the world's only corn palace. And it has in corn across the front of the building, 250 years of America. Just think how privileged we all are to be living when we celebrate our 250th birthday just a little bit later this year. So in the Explore Mitchell, South Dakota 2026 Guide to Everything, it is just chock-a-block with all kinds of things that we can go to check out. Having already visited the world's only corn palace, I will tell you that the men's head in the world's only corn palace is shipboard clean and was presented to your captain at exactly the right time and the right place. Along with the with that as our magazine for this week, for this week, is another one called the 605 Magazine, and the 605 Spotlight is Reptile Gardens. Now, I don't know if we're going to have time to get to the Reptile Gardens, and Reptile Gardens are not one of my favorite tourist things anyway, but if we get there, we'll check it out. But we do want to get to Waldrug because we've been watching the signs, and those who travel on Interstate 90 will recall having seen the Waldrug signs out at about 400 miles away. And so those are my magazines for this week. And in my notes today, I am reminded that tomorrow is Earth Day. And Earth Day is a big celebration on the magical Isle of Vashon. And one of the organizations that is especially enthusiastic about Earth Day is one here on the island called Zero Waste Vashon. And Zero Waste Vashon is headed up by, or is at least helped to administered by, my friend Steve Bergman, who is the retired geologist and who has created a wonderful exhibit of all of the rocks. There are 9 different ones on the magical Isle of Vashon, and he created an exhibit of those for me to have inside the lighthouse. And the first time that I put it out, it drew so many people, I was thinking that maybe the competition between the rock display and he who sits in the captain's chair may have been more than he who sits in the captain's chair wanted to have. But I have retained it because it has turned out to be so popular. And so that ties all of it together for Earth Day tomorrow. I hope that each one of us is a person who is enthusiastic about the saving of the planet that we all share. And part of my work in that regard is to head up the low tide celebration, which we will be having in June of this year. And one of the good things that we think we're going to be able to have takes me to one of my pieces of good news for this week. Actually, this broadcast is full of good news because I am making a happy voyage with someone that I enjoy being with and who at least pretends to enjoy being with me. And so so all of this is really good. And the good news is that after a 5-year hiatus because of a disease which attacks only starfish, that apparently this disease has been eradicated and that we are going to be able to see some of these starfish when we do the low tide celebration. On instead of a real magazine or anything like that, I'm going to have a little discussion of a piece which showed up in the Vashon Beachcomber, which is our local newspaper. Now, you all must be aware that I am not, and I do not have any tattoos of my own. There may have been one or two close calls when, after visiting a Christian Science reading room in such places as the Wan Chai District of Hong Kong or Yokosuka, Japan, that I might have been tempted to visit such an establishment and to acquire a tattoo. but I did not. However, today, many, many people, including many people in active duty in our own Coast Guard, have very elaborate tattoos. And so the beachcomber arrived in my post box just before I got underway to fly to Baltimore, Washington International Airport, LRN code BWI, to start my adventure with TAM. And in the aircraft, I read the Beachcomber, and there's an article there about a new tattoo parlor. I think that's what they call them, parlors, on the magical isle of Vashon. And its name is Toad and Jaguar. I give that word Jaguar the English pronunciation for the motor car. Those are Jaguar motor cars. So the name of the place where one can get a very elaborate, and there's some photographs or a photograph of at least one of them here, is called Toad and Jaguar. And I am so intrigued by this couple's story that I think I am moved to ask them if they would like to come on to the broadcast with me and talk just a little bit about the business and how they got into it and how they ended up on Vashon, because they are not native to this part of the country. They actually came, big surprise to all hands, from California. And so I may have them come on. I will not allow them to bring their equipment, and even more to the point, I will not allow them to install any of their artwork on your captain, because I am at the point in my life when I'm trying to slim things down. I'm trying to move things on. I am not trying to acquire new things. I did, however, acquire a new friend on this trip, and that is a newly enfranchised American Airlines captain. And Pam and I were visiting with him and with his family, and we were celebrating the fact that he was about to have his last check ride before he could put on the fourth stripe and be entitled to be addressed as captain and to carry the full weight and responsibility of his passengers and his aircraft once he makes that first flight as a captain. And what I found particularly interesting about this gentleman was that he is an aviation aficionado, and he owns aircraft. He has this hangar. He lives in a housing area. He and his family live in a housing complex that includes access to a 3,500-foot runway. And he has a hangar, and inside this hangar is I gave him high marks for having an even messier hangar than my carport. And so in this hangar, he has got a Waco, and he's got an aircraft that I thought there were no more of them left anywhere in the world, an airplane called a monocoupe. And he has the original Warner engines. So because I never learned to fly, and because each time I had to make a decision about going to flight school in the Coast Guard, I was in command of a cutter, and I wasn't going to give that up for anything. So I never went to flight school in the Coast Guard, and I never even learned to fly small aircraft or private aircraft. Captain O'Brien, when he retired from Alaska, told me that he was never going to fly an airplane again. And I said, well, I've heard that wind whistle through those trees before. And of course, not only did he end up buying one airplane, but he ended up buying two airplanes, one of which he very skillfully put into the top of a tree when he had an engine failure. We've talked that story before, and probably I'll tell it again, because I am always ready to listen to and then repeat stories of people who have saved their and other people's lives through their incredible skill, in this case, airmanship, in my world, of course, seamanship. So anyway, but I learned a lot about airplanes and about especially antique airplanes. I know a lot about them. And so I was able to hold my own in conversation with this gentleman who was also thinking about his, and he was also thinking about his final check ride that he needed to successfully pass before he could be properly addressed and given the responsibility of being a captain. So it was a, that was the one of the beginnings of this particular trip, and it has gone only up into the air from there. And so from here, we are headed to Waldrug. Those of you who have traveled Interstate 90 are aware of Waldrug. We're going to go there. And then we're going to do the Badlands before we head on the rest of Interstate 90 to the Seattle, to Wenatchee, and then to the Seattle area. Next week, I will be broadcasting from the magical Isle of Vashon. But in a day after that broadcast, I fly to Fairbanks. I am so proud of my two granddaughters. One of them is being admitted to her degree of Bachelor of Nursing, and the other one is graduating high school. And so when Naomi, who is about ready to become a nurse, told me that she was thinking about not marching in the academic procession, I said, well, if you will change your mind and agree to march in the procession, I will come from Seattle to Fairbanks, not my favorite city in the whole world, except because I have this wonderful family there. I will come to Fairbanks and we will all celebrate together. And she said, done. Well, then, of course, I was caught. Now I have to do it. And I am doing it. So we'll be going up for, first of all, her pinning ceremony, then her graduation ceremony, and then we're going to also celebrate Anna Mae's graduation high school. And with that, my Omega watch is telling me that it is time once again for me to remind all of you that each of you are, as always, in the palm of my hand. We never say goodbye. We say, until we meet again, we'll meet again here, well, not here in South Dakota, but here on the Voice of Vashon a week from today. And as always, this is your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly.